Before I'd like to, before we'll read the scriptures, I'd like to ask everybody to just let us bow our heads and let us pray. Our loving and heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace at this moment, Lord, and thanking you for bringing each one of us in this place. We acknowledge, Lord, that without you, we are nothing. And we also acknowledge, Lord, our own limitations that we have, even in understanding the word and doing the work that you have entrusted into us. But we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to do the work and as well as also to understand the word. We thank you that we have this privilege as well as also we have this freedom in this country to worship you, Lord, wherever we are and whenever we want. We realize, Lord, that in some countries they don't have the freedom that we have, that we enjoy in this country. Let it be, O God, that your Holy Spirit may speak through your servant this morning, and that you may prepare each of our hearts as well as our mind as we meditate upon thy word. We want to worship you, Lord, by opening thy word this morning. In Christ's name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Good morning. I'd like to thank the pastor, Pastor Trent, of giving me once again the opportunity and a chance to be a part of the service this morning, and also to present the work that we have in different places. And to some of you that were not in the Sunday school this morning, I had a time of presenting the work that we have through the Grace Beyond Borders International. We have a work in several places, as what I have probably shown this morning. We have work in the Philippines, and we have work in Indonesia. We have work in Thailand, and also we have a work in Laos, in Malaysia, and now we are going to open a work in Australia, and also in Canada. I know that Canada is pretty close, you know, to your place. So we are still hoping to find a missionary that comes from the U.S. instead of us bringing a missionary all the way from the Philippines to work in Australia, I mean in Canada. It's kind of awkward because I always look up to the United States as a source of missionaries. Until now, I still think that we are. And so for me to bring a missionary all the way from the Philippines to work in Canada, it's kind of awkward. But we are still praying that if it is possible that we can find. If not, then we are trying to encourage my son, together with his family, his wife, to come and work in Canada. The work that we have in the last 2 years or 3 years now, the Lord has really given us an opening in many places. And to me, it is pretty exciting. You know, when you look at, wow, the Lord is giving us an opening in different places, and people... with people who volunteered to do the work without even coming to the States and in their own expense. although, you know, it's kind of hard to understand, but what most missionaries that we have now, they applied and joined with us in this endeavor of spreading the gospel in different parts of the world. And so they prayed, and they kind of apply for different kinds of jobs in different parts of the world. And if they are accepted, then they will work there. In Thailand and in Laos, if you are a retired school teacher, or if you have any kind of degree, or if you have not even finished your degree, if you're just a young man and young woman, you can be a part of our mission. In Laos and in Thailand, since you are Americans, and English is your native language, and so you can have a job right away. When you arrive there, schools, public schools and private schools, they are open to Americans, countries, you know, people coming from the countries where English is their native language. And so you can have a job and at the same time be able to help the ministry. And so I'm at the same time recruiting missionaries. You don't have to have a doctorate degree. If you have a doctorate degree or a master's degree, we also have a place for you. We have a Bible college that needed some professors to come and help us. And as what I have mentioned this morning, that I believe that the best and the most efficient way of using our resources, limited resources, is not for us to come and be a pastor of a church in other countries. But we are going there as an expert in our field, and we train the nationals to be able to do the work in establishing and planting church planting in the countries, different countries where we are. And if you want to have, if you want to ask some questions later on, I'd be glad to give the information. If you also want to ask through the internet, we are on the Facebook. I'm sorry, probably some of you don't like Facebook, but that's a communication that we use because it's an instant thing. People right away open and look at their look at some of the pictures, and you can answer right away. And some of the people think that you should not be so much on the Facebook, but I use my Facebook as a means of ministry. I mean, a means of communicating in different fields that we have. I have maybe almost 4,000 friends on Facebook, and many of them are asking about, you know, what's going on in the field. And last night, I have several guys that were asking me some views on certain issues of doctrine, and some of them are asking sometimes outlines to teach. And so I mentor people when they're writing thesis and or dissertation through the internet, even on the Facebook. There was a time when my wife was complaining and said, "You are spending so much time on Facebook. I want to know who is, maybe you got somebody there." Because some people, you know, they said that you, some people are broken homes is just because of the Facebook. And so one time my wife is complaining, and so I said, "Well, you can open my Facebook." And I said, "Okay, give me the password. I want to see what you have in your account." And so I said, "You should know it." And so he said, "Okay, just tell me." And so I said, "Okay, the password is, although it's Indonesian language, but in English it says, Ella, I love you." But there are more to it so that people cannot open it, you know. But anyway, I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "It's a password." "Oh, yeah, sure." You know, and she typed it in Indonesian language, and it pops up. And it's kind of funny because when you're sometimes kind of upset to your wife, and I want to open my Facebook, I still have to type the word, "Ella, I love you," you know. Okay. Anyway, I'd like to share the passage or the scriptures with you this morning. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and mainly on verse 7. But I'd be looking, I'd be speaking from verse 1 down to verse 7 or even verse 9. I am always reminded. A friend of mine reminded me that he said, "Mario, when you come and speak here in the States, you speak a little bit slower because you have an accent, and sometimes people don't understand what you're saying. So sorry if, you know, I have a very strong accent and sometimes hard to understand." I asked the pastor how long is my time, and he told me how long. And also my computer, I'm going to be using a slides for my message, and I told him to unplug it, and my battery lasts very short only time. So if, you know, my presentation is out because my battery runs out, so it's time for me to stop. You know, when I think of this passage. Oh, okay. Just what I told you. Earthen vessel. The earthen vessel. Yes. Yeah, just like what I told you. So I think it's over. My message is over. Okay, just would like to read to you a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'd like to read verses 1 to 7. While we are trying to get back into my computer. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 7, where it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and of the power may be of God and not of us." I look at this passage and several things that came into my mind when looking at the whole chapter. So I put a title on it, which says "A Christian Life and Ministry," where Paul himself, you know, when you think of in missions, because we, my mind is, I'm still thinking about, you know, missions. We as workers of God, I believe that we are all ministers of God. I like what you said, you know, that you don't have to be, a speaker or a teacher or a professor to be able to serve God and to speak about God, even the way we live. And this is exactly what Paul is saying. You know, when he was, when he wrote this passage, there are a few verses like, what I would like to, a few points, like in verse 2 and verse 3. When he said that, "But we renounce," he said, "we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty." So what it is that he was trying to say, you know, whatever you see in me, whatever you hear of me, that's it. You know, that's me. We don't hide any things from you. And in fact, he said, on the things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, or nor handling the word of God deceitfully. It could be that in the time, even in our times today, as we look at many preachers, and sometimes they speak and they have great crowds, but we know that when you try to examine and you listen and you try to research and you try to really watch them, you know that many of them are just using the Word of God or using the Bible or using the name of Christianity for their own gain. And this is very sad, you know, sometimes because we are being branded as the same as with these people. "You are a Christian." Oh yes, so is he, you know. And when you watch them, sometimes they have, you know, they got big crowds on the televisions and they live a very, very luxurious life. And when Paul, he speaks about it, he said, "No, what you see in me, that's me." And he goes on to say that, "But by the manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Then we look at the task that he mentions. When we look at the task of a Christian worker, or the task of the Christians as in general, he said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, the Lord ourselves, your servants for Jesus Christ." We have a task of spreading out the gospel. I was, you know, when I think of yesterday, or the other day, or it was Saturday, yesterday was Saturday, I had a time meeting with a pastor up in, oh no, he wasn't even a pastor, a Sunday school teacher. And so we had a meeting in a restaurant, and he was sharing to me about his experience, late experience in the work, how he had chances of witnessing to people. And I was really encouraged. When he shared, he said, "In my work, I had a chance of leading somebody to pray, even receiving the Lord Jesus Christ." And to me, that was really encouraging. When you think that today, when we talk about Christianity or when we talk about spiritual things, it's kind of hard. People will say, well, you know what? Those are private things. We don't, personal conviction, so that's my business, and you don't talk about it. But here's this man, he was sharing from his office. He said, I had a chance of leading somebody to come to know the Lord as his personal Savior. And so when I think of that, I said, wow. And he said, how did you do it? I asked. He said, oh, you know what? I did. You know, I shared only my personal testimony. And after that, I asked him if he wants to know more on how to know Christ and how to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. So with that experience, came out from that restaurant. We were in Bob Evans restaurant. And I was really, I keep on thinking that. A professor, a close friend of mine who is a professor, a medical doctor, and he's a professor in medical school in Indonesia. He's also the chief elder in a church. And once in a while, he would speak. And I remember a statement that he asked, he spoke. And he said, he closed his sermon. One occasion, I was listening to his sermon. He closed his sermon. He said, I'd like to ask you, he said, when was the last time that you have shared Christ to someone? And when I was, while I was sitting there, I am a missionary and we're supposed to be always at the same time, at any moment, supposed to be sharing the gospel. Then my mind, tried to remember when was the last time. And I know the exact time. But that statement, keep ringing in my mind. Every time when I am alone or in some place, that struck to my mind, you know, that always reminds me, when was the last time? I was invited as a speaker to different pastors 2 years ago and conducted a seminar. There were probably more than 200 of them, 250 pastors. And so during this seminar, I asked this question. We had a workshop and I asked, okay, when was the last time you have shared Jesus Christ with someone? And one of the pastor rose up his hand and, you know, he said, yeah, I know exactly. When was the last time? He said, 9 years ago. Oh, wow. That was 9 years ago. And of course, when you think, I know that there are several things that you probably, you know, when you think of sharing the gospel to someone else, you always think of some of the barriers that we have. That fear of being rejected, that fear of being insulted. I like when I look at this passage in verse 7, where he said, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I was looking on this vessel in the front, this flower pot. Is it all right for me to pick it up? No problem. My wife told me, don't touch anything in the pump. But anyway, since you permitted me, I just want to pick it up. Oh, this is pretty easy to pick up. I thought this was a clay. But this is, if I'm not wrong, it's a plastic, isn't it? But beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It's a beautiful flower. But when you look at it, you don't look at you don't pay attention to the flower pot. You look at the flower. When the scripture says, when Paul says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, what comes to your mind? What comes to our mind? Now today, probably earthen vessels is not very common. We have plastic vessels. I mean pot. But what comes to your mind when you think of a treasure? I don't think, when you think of a treasure, you think of a place, a safe place, isn't it? When you have money, I do not know, I'm not going to be asking how much money you have at home and how much gold you're keeping at home. But let's say if you have gold, you don't trust, let's say you don't trust the banks anymore because of the inflation, and you're probably scared of something is going to happen with the economy in the world. And so you're keeping your money in your home. And also your gold, you're buying golds. Now, it used to be that gold is a good business, but now it seems to me that the gold is going up and down too, you know. But anyway, let's say you have gold. Several gold bars. If you do, don't, never mind telling me. But let's see if you have gold bars at home. Where are you going to put it? Now, you don't have to tell me, but what I'm saying is that, are you going to put it in an earthen vessel? Are you going to put it, are you going to put it in a plastic, in a plastic container? Even if it is a Tupperware. Are you going to put it in a place where it is visible and in a place which is accessible to all? You are, I'm sure that you are going to think of a safe with a complicated and really sophisticated combinations. And if it is possible that it is only you that know how to get inside and how to open the safe. Is that right? Am I right? But why is it that when Paul speaks about, he said, we have this treasure. Now, he is speaking of a treasure with great value. With the value of the treasure beyond our imagination. And he said, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. What does he mean? What was in the mind of Paul, and what is really that passage meant to you? He said, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Now, earthen vessel, that means it's easy to dispose, fragile, and it's accessible. With no combination, sophisticated combination. And that means it's not something that has so much value. Now, when you buy a safe today, you really have to buy a good one. You really have to buy a good one that even if the whole house burned down, your safe remains intact. Am I right? That's what you do. But when Paul is speaking, he said, when he's speaking in this passage, he said, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. He's speaking of a treasure in the whole chapter. When you look at the whole chapter, he's speaking about the gospel and the truth that we have. The spiritual whole body of truth that we have today, especially the gospel of the grace of God. And he said, we have this treasure. And he goes on to say, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. He's speaking of ourselves. He's speaking of your physical body. He's speaking of the visible person. He's speaking of somebody who is really a real man. Physically, he's talking about our physical existence. That you as a person, me as a person, that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, we have this treasure within us. We have this treasure, and we are an earthen vessel. Now, in the last 50 years or 40 years, I remember when the first time I heard about self-esteem. And approach on how you love yourself and how you value yourself. And you see, that's a big problem because so many people do not love themselves, and that's why they don't have any self-esteem. So it's been probably is talked all over, even until now. That's part of the many of the approach in counseling, many of the approach in trying to motivate people to think of yourself as you are somebody. But when I look at this passage, it's very different. It said, oh, you are an earthen vessel. Oh, wow. An earthen vessel, you can just kick. You know, you can just do whatever you want. Does it mean that we don't have to take care of ourselves because we are just an earthen vessel compared to the priceless treasure that is deposited within you and me? No. It's also wrong. It said, we are an earthen vessel. If a vessel does not attract other people, if it is sending a wrong message to the other people, it's also a problem. But we are an earthen vessel. Paul says, we are an earthen vessel compared to the price, compared to the amount of treasure that God has deposited within you. You know, I like when he uses that word. In several occasions in the scriptures, we have a mention of an earthen vessel. You know, I look at this and found a report on a report on somebody in Europe. We had found he was working and digging the ground to make a new septic tank. And he found an earthen vessel. An earthen vessel buried in the ground. And when he looked at it, he saw an earthen vessel when he tried to dig it out and found inside were old golden coins. And he was just thinking, wow, it's quite a bit of treasure there. You know, when you think of it, in the scriptures, he speaks of broken vessels, broken earthen vessels. In the time of Gideon. When Gideon invaded their enemies with 300 soldiers, God has told Gideon, he said, Gideon, when you go out there, and should you bring your 300 soldiers, he said, and with a sword and with a torch, but the torch, you have a torch hidden under a pot. And so when you surround your enemy, after you have surrounded your enemy, then you break the pot. That earthen vessel, you break it. Then you shout and then you show them the light. When an earthen vessel is not broken, then the light would not show. It will not shine. The same thing with us. When Christ and when Paul speaks about us of being an earthen vessel, he speaks that a person, not unless he's broken before the Lord, he cannot be a blessing to others. If you still feel that he is so important, more than what God and who is God and what God has deposited within him, he will never become a blessing to other people. You know, when you look at the rest of the passage in chapter 4, you will see how Paul had suffered so many persecutions in many ways. I'd like to close this meditation with an experience that I had about 4 years ago. We were in Wisconsin. I do not know whether you have been to the campground in Wisconsin. Some of you have not been there. It's a nice place. They have a lake, nice lake. And I attended the family retreat. And so during this discussion, one of the pastors said, you know what? Some of our churches are not growing very fast. And he said, so what's the problem? And so we discussed, they were discussing. Finally, they came up with an answer. They said, I think we are not witnessing. I said, okay. And so a friend of mine from Netherlands, he said, why don't we try witnessing tomorrow instead of just talking? And so he said, okay, we'll go out tomorrow. And there were probably 15 of us. We'll go out tomorrow and start witnessing. And so they said, okay. We'll go to the Walmart. We'll go to this big supermarket. And I said, no. I don't think that the people would appreciate if we are following somebody with our Bible. And while they are going shopping and selecting the vegetables, and here you are at the back and said, can you have some time? I want to share with you the gospel from the scriptures. I don't think you will appreciate that. And I said, why don't we go out and visit these homes that are along the beach of the lake? And so we ended up, in the morning, we turned out in the morning, started doing the witnessing, and there were just about 8 of us. The rest did not want to go. And we started bringing some tracts with an invitation for them to come to the camp, because we are going to start having a regular service, every Sunday morning service in the camp, starting the following month. I was surprised. From a distance, not even close to the, not even 3 meters from their door, you know, from their doors. And they would say, oh, no, we don't want any, you know, we don't want. And I said, we did not even speak yet. We're just holding tracts. And they said, no, this is just an invitation for you to come to our camp. And I said, no, we don't want. And so we keep walking. I finally saw a guy that was relaxing. This was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was relaxing. Next to him was a real big glass of lemonade. Cold lemonade. I think he had just done his mowing the lawn. And I told my friend, I said, wait here, because I think this is the perfect person that I can witness. So I started going to him with my invitations. And as I started going, getting close to him, And so I said, hello, good afternoon. And said, well, what do you want? And so I just keep closing and walking closer to him. And when by the time when I mentioned that I am, I have an invitation to come to the church. And he said, no, I don't like religion. He said, I don't like and I don't believe Jesus Christ and I don't believe your Bible and so on. But somehow I was drawn to him. And so he said, just an invitation. He said, you're a Christian. So he started, he was just speaking those dirty words. And he was a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of someone like that. I have never heard some of those words, but men, they were mean. He was mean. But somehow I was drawn to him. And so I keep walking instead of saying, oh, thank you. But somehow I was drawn to him. And finally I was getting very close to him. As I stand in front of him, I said, maybe it's right that some of the Christians are hypocrites. Some of the Christians are a bunch of skunk. I said, what you told me. He said, I just want to introduce myself. And he said, where are you from? I said, from the Philippines. Oh, yes, those ungrateful people there. That's right. You were coming from that place. And said, no, I'm a missionary to Indonesia. Yes, you can bring Obama back there because that's his home place. And he was just mad. He was just mad. And I was thinking, of the passage when Paul speaks about, we are just an earthen vessel. I lived from that place. Finally, after he had just relaxed a little bit and handed my hand, and he said, I just want to introduce myself. I am such and such. And is it all right for me to come again and visit you? I want to listen more of what you're going to say. And he said, yes, it's all right for you to come again. I did visit him and brought him a book and wished that maybe next time when I return there, I will see him again. But after I got out from that place, I feel like my face was kind of thick. And my ears, my ears was kind of red. And I sat down in the car and I began to imagine. I have never been treated in witnessing to other people. I have been to so many countries and witnessed to people. But this is the first time that I was treated like that. And I was surprised because I was treated like that in the U.S., not in other countries. When you think of it, there is one of the barriers that we have and fear that we have in sharing the gospel is we do not want people to think of us very low. And we don't want people to insult us. But that is exactly what Paul is saying. You are just an earthen vessel. Do not care so much if you are broken for the Lord. Since the more you are broken for Christ, the more the riches of Christ, and Christ is more magnified than yourself. We have this treasure, and it is not supposed to be hidden in a safe. But it is supposed to be exposed and be distributed to as many as we can. It is not for us to keep. It is for us to give away. And it's too good. It's too good for us to keep it for ourselves. That's why he calls it the treasure in an earthen vessel. Let us bow down our heads and let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that we are just an earthen vessel. And we thank you, Lord, that you have deposited that unsearchable riches within us, Lord. We are just fragile. We are human with so much limitations and weaknesses. But it pleased you, Lord, to deposit that treasure within us. Lord, we pray that you may give us the boldness. You may give us the love to share that great treasures to other people. We pray that you may continue to use each one of us, Lord, that we may become a vessel ready for the Master's use. In Christ's name we pray and give thanks. Amen.